All right. As I mentioned, today's lesson will be more brief than usual. We are going to do Ephesians verse by verse, but we're only going to do one verse this week. One verse. And if you think, man, how is he going to squeeze any time out of one verse? We spent an hour and a half Thursday night talking about two verses. So if you would, please look at Ephesians. We've been going through this book verse by verse. And in verse 14 in chapter 5, verse 14 in chapter 5, we saw that Paul wants us to be woke, as the kids say. He wants us to awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. In verse 16, we saw that we as ambassadors for Christ are working in hostile territory and our time is precious. We need to redeem the time because the days are evil. We need to reclaim our time from the course of this world. The course of this world is run by the god of this world, which is the devil. And any time we take from that course and spend it on spiritual things, spend it on seeing people saved, spend it on studying the Bible, we are redeeming time. And we learned in verse 17, the instruction, we shouldn't be spending all of our time and money on the what is God's will aisle in the Christian bookstore. Because if you're in the what is God's will aisle in the Christian bookstore, according to this verse, you've got some learning to do. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is not hard. 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. To see souls saved, saints edified. I like to say God's will is seeing souls saved, saints edified, while having a good attitude about it. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. So see souls saved, saints edified, with a good attitude. So with that out of the way, that's where we're at. We pick up at the one verse we're going to do today. So it is time to get drunk in the Spirit. Is everybody ready? You thought we'd wait till after the meal, right? I had mentioned this verse in previous weeks about drunk in the Spirit, and a lot of folks had never heard of that before. And I know that both here and our online audience, we have some recovering charismatics. My wife is one of them. So I thought we should park on this verse and talk about what is this verse really about. Verse 17 goes into it, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That seems like a pretty straightforward verse, doesn't it? Don't do this, do this. It's not difficult English. Don't get drunk. Be filled with the Spirit. Only in church. Only in church can somebody look at this verse and say, I know what we should do. Don't get drunk with wine, but act like you're drunk with the Spirit. Only in church. But people do that. The third option. So I have here a video. And now, the reason I want to address this, this verse on its own is paired with Acts 2. Everybody's familiar with Acts 2. Peter stands up. Everybody hears them in their same language. And they say, these men must be drunk. We'll talk about that in a minute. So this video I have, the quality's not good. It's an older video. But it's kind of grainy and pixelated. But you get the gist of what's going on here in this few minute video.
Which you now see and hear. They heard them speak in tongues, but what did they see? For them to think they was drunk, they must have thought they was drunk. They were acting like drunks.
again. Drunk again. This is the first time we've had a full manifestation of that anointing. We got the act.
To film that. They meant to show that to the world. Now, is that an example of redeeming the time? All things done decently and in order? Be not unwise, understanding the will of the Lord? No, that's not. That's ridiculous. And if any of you are uncomfortable with me talking about another ministry and saying that they're doctrinally wrong, I would point you to 1 Timothy 4. The whole verse, first six verses, talks about Paul telling Timothy to correct doctrinal error. And he says at the end of it, the only mention of in the Bible where it says, that'll make you a good minister. But that, obviously, is ridiculous. It's shame to the name of Christ. We're supposed to be preaching a gospel to a lost and dying world, and did you hear him about in the middle where he said, this is the first time we've got this anointing? So they blamed all that on God's Holy Spirit making them do it. And they get it out of Acts 2. Let's look over at that. Acts 2, this is the day of Pentecost. The preacher joke in verse 1 of Acts 2 is they were all in one Honda, one Accord, ha ha ha. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared to them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice, they didn't do anything. They just suddenly, they're sitting there in one Honda. Suddenly, they're filled with the Holy Ghost. It came upon them. And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Those were languages, known languages. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Why is that? They're coming for a Jewish feast day. These are Jews operating under the law. Now, when this was noised abroad, what was noised abroad? These men speaking with other tongues. The multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Notice, it's not just their own language. I'm hearing my own language from where I was born. Think British English, cheerio, to West Virginia English. I'm heading down to the holler, get some crawdads. But that's, they're hearing their tongue in the region that they were born. And he says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others, mocking, say, these men are full of new wine. So you pair our verse, Ephesians 5:18, with this, and you get that video. Well, I just read the account of what these guys were doing. They were speaking, right? Publicly speaking. Didn't see a record of any of them giggling like they were drunk, falling on the floor, rolling around on top of each other. They're speaking. You ever see a street preacher? Man standing on the street, usually has some people around passing gospel tracts. He's standing there preaching. That's what these guys were doing in Acts 2. I've never seen a street preacher and walked up and said, well, he looks drunk. Looks like a man speaking. But then you have the people that are amazed, the people that are confounded. So you've got three groups of people, essentially. One group is amazed because here they are, they're Jewish, but they were born in Asia. And they're standing there listening to Jewish fishermen talk. And they're hearing perfect Asian dialect come out of their mouth. That's not possible. This is amazing. What's going on here? But nobody is acting a fool like that video. Then we have another group that's mocking the people who are amazed. People are confounded. People are saying, what is the meaning of this? What's going on? Then you have people mocking, saying, oh, those people are drunk. Pete stands up and says, no way, they're drunk. The bars aren't even open yet. He says in Acts 2:15, these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. So I've got three groups of people. Got one group of people speaking. There's one. Then I've got this other group. Whoa! Amazed people. And then the third group I have, are the mockers. That's what the verse has said, right? We've got speakers, we've got hearers in amazement, and we've got mockers. Now, who would be the group out of the three, from what we have in the verses, that you could accuse of acting drunk? Or saying things that only a drunk person would probably say? Those folks. These guys are just standing there speaking. These folks, can you believe this? I'm hearing Asian. I'm hearing Japanese. I'm hearing Korean. This is insane. And there's a crowd coming. Are you hearing it too? What is going on? And then you have the mockers. Okay? I would submit to you that when they said, these men are full of new wine, they weren't talking about the Holy Ghost speakers. They were talking about these guys. Oh man, that messes up the video, doesn't it? I'll have to find something else silly to do in church. These people are marveling in amazement. They're making crazy claims that they're hearing them in these languages from faraway places. And then, who most likely would be a person that would mock? These guys are all Jews, right? They're speaking their normal Jewish tongue from the Holy Land. What about if you had other normal Jewish people from that area that walked up and all they're hearing is Hebrew? What are you people talking about? You're hearing Korean. They're speaking in normal Hebrew. You guys are drunk. I would submit to you that makes more sense. Were there any Jews there? Oh, verse 14. Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem. So if you're a Jerusalem dweller, and you're listening to other Jerusalem dwellers talk, you're going to hear your local tongue, just like all these people. That, like I said, I would submit to you that that would be a better explanation. But trying to equate what we saw in the video with God's Holy Spirit telling you to do that, making you to do that, anointing you to do that, that's foolish. It's unwise. It's not understanding what the will of the Lord is. So that, in Acts 2, that is a filling of God's Holy Spirit with no effort on the part of the people who were filled. If you still have Ephesians, that should tell you something. Ephesians 5 says it's an instruction, it's a command to us in the church, the body of Christ, that says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, God is three persons in one. That's what 1 John 5:7 says. There are three that bear record in heaven. And these three are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All three eternal, all three, and I don't use the word Trinity very often, but it's a triune Godhead. And God the Holy Spirit has had different ministries, and you can see the way God the Holy Spirit operates differently as you go through your Bible. If you're saved today, if you've believed the gospel, you are a member, whether you know it or not, of the church, the body of Christ. And according to Ephesians 1:13, the moment you trusted Christ, the moment you stopped trusting your religion and stopped trusting your own works, the moment you chose to trust what Christ did for you, He saved your soul and He seals you until the day of redemption. Amen. You cannot be unsaved. You cannot mess it up. And that's good news for dirtbags like me.
Praise God.
Does anybody remember David's psalm in Psalm 51? David, in Psalm 51, he's praying to God, don't leave, please. He tells God, the Holy Spirit, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Cast me not out of your presence. Cast me not away. Where would David get an idea like that? Where would David get an idea that God's Holy Spirit can come and go where they were in Israel's Old Testament? Saul? Anyone? God's Spirit came and was in Saul, and then when Saul disobeyed, God left. That's different. We need to admit the differences. Romans 8:39. The church, the body of Christ, is said, told nothing can separate us. Meanwhile, David prays, cast me not away from your presence, O God. These are different ministries where God's Holy Spirit has worked differently with different people in what the Bible calls dispensations. In different dispensations through the Bible, God has had different marching orders and different instructions. Yeah, 1 Samuel 16:14 is where God's Spirit departs from Saul. And that's something He promises the church, the body of Christ, which is you and I, will not happen. Similarly, on Acts 2, when I look at Acts 2 in my Bible, I see people that are just filled with the Holy Ghost, and suddenly they have a new superpower. No effort of their own. That's one page. Now I turn over to Ephesians, another page, and my Bible's telling me, you need to be filled. Don't do this, do this. The Acts 2, before we move on real quick, the Acts 2 filling of God's Spirit in those people, do you know that that was not the start of drunk in the Spirit? I hope you know that. But it was a specific fulfillment of a very specific prophecy that God gave to Israel. And if you're saved today, you're not Israel. You are the church, the body of Christ. That is something different. And Peter helps us out. He even gives you, he doesn't give us chapter and verse, but he at least lets you know where to find it. Pete says, these guys ain't drunk. This is what Joel was talking about. Hey, thank you. You've narrowed it down for me. Now all I got to do is go read Joel. And that's Joel 2:28. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. There's another instance of this prophecy in Proverbs. And you think, there's no prophecy in Proverbs? Oh yeah, there's a lot. Proverbs 1:23, says, "Turn you at my reproof," what did Peter say to Israel? "Repent and be baptized. Change your mind and do something about it." "Turn you at my reproof," is what Proverbs 1:23 says. "Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." Huh. Well, here I got a bunch of people standing there speaking God's words, and I have people hearing them and understanding them. This is the baptism of the Holy Ghost that Christ promised Israel. It's in Matthew 3:11. We can turn that real quick. I just want to point this out to you. Matthew 3:11. You have three different baptisms in one verse. And they're not water. Not all of them, anyway. Matthew 3:11. This is John the Baptist talking to Israel. Matthew 3:11, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." So here we got the baptizer is John, right? John the Baptist. He's saying, "I'm baptizing you with water for a change of mind." Repentance, that's what repentance means, to change your mind. "But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear." Obviously, he's talking about Christ. "He shall baptize you." So now we have a different baptizer. Now we have Jesus Christ as the one who's going to do the baptizing. And he says, "I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost," which is that, "and with fire." Does anybody know what the fire baptism is? That's the one you don't want. When Christ comes to Israel and thoroughly purges his floor and throws the chaff into the fire. You don't want that one. But that is what's happening here in Acts 2. The promised, prophesied baptism by Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost on these people is happening. And they're doing the job he gave them to do. So that's Acts 2. Very different from "don't do this, do this. Be filled with the Spirit." Back to Ephesians, our one verse of the day. You'd think after doing this so long, I'd remember to bookmark my spot. But maybe when I hit the 15-year mark. "Be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And we've seen this pattern since about the middle of chapter 4. It's do this, don't do this, do that. Don't do this, do that. You used to be this, you're not that anymore. And I know that you've probably all heard messages comparing booze and the Holy Spirit, where they take and they say, well, you know, both things are foreign to your natural body, correct? Both things, if you get filled with them, they will affect your mood, your behavior, the way you walk, the way you talk. You've all heard stuff like that before, so, okay. So I don't have to waste any time on that. You've already heard those lessons preached. But it is true. But the question is, how do you get drunk? You guys are all fine church-going people, so you probably have no clue. So let a dirtbag like me explain it to you. You sit around and you pray really hard to the spirit of Jim Beam and Jack Daniels, and then suddenly, I'm blitzed. No, that's not how it works, does it? To get drunk, you take a drink. And then, before that one wears off, you say, that feels good. Thank you, sir. May I have another? And then you have another. And before that one wears off, then you have another. And before you know it, you are sitting at a bank ordering Taco Bell from police. Anybody hear about that one this week? Man arrested for DUI. He pulled into a bank drive-thru lane and passed out. Bank calls the cops. Cops come up, knock on the window. Roll your window down, sir. Yeah, I want 2 burritos and a chalupa. He thought he was at Taco Bell, ordering Taco Bell from the police who were there to arrest him. Now that's funny. I'm glad the story ended in funny instead of him killing me or one of my family members with the 2-ton missile he was driving. That's great. But that's drunk. You start and you keep going, and how many have you had? I don't know, 11? 2 beers, officer, 2 beers. That's what I am. I've got an acquaintance that's a police officer. He says, every time. Had 2 beers, officer. He said the funniest one, he watched a guy swerving, and he's like, I'll give you 1 or 2 swerves. You know, you may have been reaching for something. Because when we get to 4, I'm lighting up. So the guy opens the window, and it's just the stench coming out. Hey, buddy, how many beers you had tonight? The guy goes, 2 beers, officer. He goes, really? I'm thinking it may be 3. Nope, I'm sure, officer, it's 2. He says, no, I'm pretty sure it's 3. He says, how do you know? He goes, well, you got number 3 open there in the cup holder. He was drinking number 3, allegedly, with the cop watching it. But that's drunk. That's excess, obviously. That's not something a member of the church, the body of Christ, should be engaging in. But be filled with the Spirit. Well, Steve, you already told me I'm saved, I'm sealed by God's Holy Spirit. You already told me nothing can separate me from the love of God. But I may be a quart low on Holy Spirit. I need to be filled. I mean, I don't have all that I could have. That's what the verse is intimating, isn't it? Didn't Paul say, as much as in me is, I'm ready? Meaning, I am what I am today. I have as much in me as I have. I'm ready to go. But there could be more. So where is the Holy Spirit dispensary? I've been to Circle K. They've got soda. You know, they've got the ice cream stuff. I didn't see any dispenser that said, God's Holy Spirit here. Go to the stadium, you don't see anybody waving around. Ice cold Holy Spirit here. Get your Holy Spirit. How can I get filled up with God's Spirit? The man in the back has a clue. To get drunk, you got to keep going back and getting more and more, right? So if I'm just reading the verse and understanding the sense of what God's telling me to do, to get filled with God's Holy Spirit as a member of the church, the body of Christ, that's not going to happen to me because that's not my pattern. I got to keep going back to something or doing something over and over again to get filled with God's Holy Spirit. So where is the Holy Spirit dispensary that I can go to over and over again? Where would you get an idea like that? Exactly. The Bible gave you that idea. In 2 Samuel 23:2, the speaker says, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His word was in my tongue." I've got God's Holy Spirit associated with words in my Bible. Peter in Acts, I think it's Acts 2. Got 1:16 down here. I believe it's 2:16. I'm almost done, folks. I promise this was going to be a short one. This is record time for me. I'm hungry, too. Maybe it is 116. Yes, it is 116. Acts 1:16, they say, the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. Do you realize how remarkable that is? If you were there, you're watching a king speak who is a fornicating adulterer and a murderer. But if you were standing there hearing him speak, you would have been hearing God's words coming out of his mouth. So here's another example. I see God's Holy Spirit associated with words I have where? If you flip forward a page in Ephesians, you look at chapter 6, the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. Colossians 2:6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. How did we receive Christ Jesus? You heard words from this book. You believe them. You're supposed to walk the same way. Well, then what would I do? I'd go back to this book and learn, believe them, and walk accordingly. As you have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. Well, let's look at where we're at right here in Ephesians, right here in the context. Ephesians 5, verse 8. You were sometimes darkness, now are you light in the Lord. How did that happen? You heard words in a book. Verse 10. Prove what's acceptable to the Lord. How in the world would you know what's acceptable to the Lord? Reading a book. Verse 11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How are you going to decide what's unfruitful, and how do you know how to reprove? You went to the book. Seeing a pattern here. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Where'd you get the light? The book. Verse 14. Awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Where am I going to find my light? The book. You're not going to be sitting in a Honda. And it just happened to you. One Accord. It's a throwback. Comedians call that. Callback, a throwback. Verse 17. Don't be unwise. Understand what the will of the Lord is. How am I going to find the will of the Lord? Going back to the book. God's Spirit and God's Word are interchangeable. Because God's Spirit speaks God's words. Where did I hear that? Oh, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? God breathed. I don't know, Steve. I don't think being filled with the Spirit means just filling yourself up on the book. You got Ephesians in one hand, right? Okay, we see, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Now look after that. Instructions on music and singing, right? Then talking about husband and wives relationships and family relationships. Correct? You see all that in Ephesians? Turn over, please, to Diet Ephesians. That's what I call the book of Colossians. Diet Ephesians. It's very similar, just shorter. Look at Colossians 3:16. Ephesians 5:18 says, be filled with the Spirit. Look at Colossians 3:16. Let me know when you have it. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Ephesians says, be filled with the Spirit. This one says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Where are you going to find that? The book. Now look right after. Instructions on music. Instructions on husband and wife relationships. Children. You see it? They're interchangeable. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, if you're a member of the church, the body of Christ, alive today, If you want to be filled with the Spirit, you accomplish it by doing Colossians 3:16. Get more of the Word in you. Rightly divided, of course. Being filled with the Spirit for us is done by studying the book, learning more, being filled richly with the Spirit-inspired words we find in our preserved Bible. So that's all I have today. Record time. Does anybody have any thoughts on it? Questions? Everybody says, let's eat. No. You ruined it, Mike!